So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over the fruits of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives a task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Father, we thank you so much that your word has great power. And as we open it, you speak to us. Please would you be with us this evening. Reveal the truth of your word in our hearts, that we had come to know and trust in you. Amen. How many times have you been told, work hard and you'll be satisfied? Work hard and everything will work out just fine. Work hard and you'll get exactly what you deserve. Work hard and you'll be ultimately happy and fulfilled. That's the line the world gives us, isn't it? That's the line we tell ourselves. Work hard and we'll be fulfilled. Where do we hear that? Where do we actually listen to that? I know I've been repeatedly fed that line by coaches, teachers, lecturers, friends. We see it in career, in education, in friendships, family life, relationships. Work hard and everything will work out fine. Work hard and you will be ultimately fulfilled. Now, our passage this evening is something of a response to a claim a bit like this. And we'll see in this passage this evening what's good about that voice, what this passage affirms, but also what it rejects. And we're going to see three things. They're on the piece of paper in front of you if you want to grab them. Hard work is frustrating, verse 17 to 20. Hard work alone is ultimately fulfilling, ultimately unfulfilling, verse 20 to 23. And hard work is from God's hand, verse 24 to 27. And crucially, with each of these things, we'll see what it means for how we approach work as it is. Firstly then, hard work is frustrating, verse 17 to 20. Now, as we look at this passage, we see that this is something of the confession of someone who is utterly frustrated with the nature of work. Have a look down at verse 17. So I hated life. Verse 18, I hated all the things. I hated life because it was grievous to me, verse 17, and I hated work because I just can't get what I deserve, verse 18 seems to be saying. See, it's like the complaint of a person who's been fed the line the world gives. Work hard and you'll love life and you'll get what you deserve. That's just not what the experience is here, is it? Here the writer's saying, no, that's not the reality. I hate life, and I don't seem to be getting what I deserve. Have a look down. Quickly, that frustration and hatred turns into despair in verse 20. I wonder, does that map onto your experience of work? Hard work doesn't always seem to produce linear results. Do you get frustrated? Is it not always enjoyable? I wonder, have you even begun to despair? Verse 17, the writer describes it like a chasing after the wind. Have you ever seen someone drop a piece of paper in the wind? It is just one of those comedy moments, isn't it? When it's windy outside and they drop a piece of paper and they go to pick it up, and as they go to pick it up, the wind blows. And then they kind of run again, and you can't run and bend down at the same time. So when they bend down again, the wind blows again and the piece of paper goes. Now, it is moderately amusing to watch, but of course it's so frustrating if that's you. You're getting nowhere, but you're trying so hard. Now, why is it frustrating? Why is this the reality? Have a look at verse 18. It doesn't seem to sound fair, does it? I hated all the things I've toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. I don't reap what I deserve. And it's repeated throughout. It's not just work. It's hard work. It's toil. As you think about your work, is this accurate? Is this how you feel sometimes? Is it a grind sometimes? Does it not feel fair? Why is it like this? You might have noticed we get this word toil repeated 9 times in our passage. And of course it reflects the writer's reality check of what work is really like. But it also points us to where else this English word toil is used, doesn't it? In Genesis 3, where it describes the curse. Have a listen. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. See, toil is a reality because God made it so. As a result of the curse, work is hard. Work is frustrating. It's not easy and it's not always fair. Now, it's a pretty grim way to start this passage, isn't it? But it's so important to know that what we're dealing with here, it's not an accident, which is a really, really good thing for us. Because it means that it's not outside of God's control. And as we walk through this passage, it means that there is hope for us in our work, even amidst the frustration. Do you ever feel like you don't get the credit you deserve for your work? Do you ever feel like it just doesn't seem to pay off? Have you heard of Laszlo Biro? You probably recognize the name. Laszlo Biro in 1938 patented the ballpoint pen. He was sick and tired of breaking fountain pens. But having taken out a patent for his invention, Biro sold it to Marcel Bic in 1945. Now Bic, his company, went on to pocket the majority of the cash from the 100 billion pens that have been sold since. Now it's not a big deal, is it? We know the name Biro, but at least we know his name. Do you know the name John Walker? I imagine probably not. John Walker spent most of his life working on producing igniting sticks. He began coating sticks in a number of dangerous products until finally, after years of hard work, he finally got the right mix. When he struck the sticks against the surface, it erupted in flames. Matches to you and me, slightly more common term. He neglected to patent the design because it just didn't seem to catch on. Now, someone else strolled in, took the design, patented it under the name Lucifer's, and ironically. Now, John Walker gets no credit whatsoever, and not only that, the invention he served his life to try and produce, he didn't even see it come to fruition. He died before the usage became widespread. See, hard work is frustrating. We don't always seem to get what we deserve. Hard work is frustrating. We should expect frustration. We should be realistic. But we should know that God is in control. Secondly, hard work alone is ultimately unfulfilling. Have a look at verse 21. A person might use wisdom, skill, and knowledge. And what do they gain? Nothing. That's the answer, isn't it? That's not what we try and tell ourselves about our hard work, is it? We try and tell ourselves, work hard and we'll gain what we're looking for. Work hard and we'll gain what our efforts deserve. Work hard and we'll get the just rewards. But verse 22 is like a cry of pain. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? What do they actually get? See, in the first couple of verses, we saw that the reality of work means that in the moment, it is frustrating. It's hard graft, and it doesn't always feel fair. But here we see that ultimately, what does it lead to? Well, it's ultimate unfulfillment. The reality of this ultimate unfulfillment is that it affects the now as well. Have a look at verse 23. All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. The reality of the ultimate means that there's sadness, there's anguish, there's no rest now. But the thing is, it's obvious that hard work does yield some return now, often, isn't it? Work is a good thing, and it offers us a glimpse of fulfillment as we work hard at it. It's a good thing created by God to enjoy and find some fulfillment in its right place. Now, I don't think the writer here is trying to claim otherwise. But it's very clear that this ultimate unfulfillment is a complete reality within our culture and in our experience when we try and look for ultimate fulfillment in our hard work. You only have to look at Olympians, and it's perfectly shown. This is a quote from Steve Redgrave's book. I remember that when I won gold in the Cox 4 in Los Angeles, it was the first time we had raced in the morning. We raced at 8 a.m., de-rigged our boat, did several interviews, received our medals, and were back in the Olympic Village in Santa Barbara by 1 p.m. I'd never been in that situation before. Everyone was congratulating me on being Olympic champion, but in my next race I was saying to myself, well, what are you going to do next? Your emotions are up and down because you've never really thought about how you would feel if you won. I had not invested a second's effort into thinking what was going to happen after that 8 o'clock start, or where 6 minutes later we would finish. In my mind, everything led up to that moment with nothing beyond it. You may have dreamt a little about being on the podium, about having an Olympic gold medal put around your neck, but only in fleeting moments. But suddenly, the harsh reality dawns that the event you have made out to be the most important of your life is behind you. A couple of athletes have recorded how hours after that event, they came and found Steve Redgrave in the corner of his hotel room crying. He just couldn't get over that. He was striving after something that he couldn't grasp. We've talked repeatedly in this series about the word meaningless that's translated here. We've said before it's from the Hebrew word hevel, which means like a vapor. is completely ungraspable. I don't know if you like driving in the fog. I do. It's fun. It is very fun. Because you look ahead and you see that patch of fog coming up as you wind through country lanes and you think, wow, that patch of fog is awesome. I'm never going to get through it. I can't even see through it. I can't wait till I can get to that patch of fog and see what it's like to be in that patch. But the reality is, you keep going and you look for that patch of fog and you never get there. And you keep seeing that patch of fog, what looks like that patch of fog ahead of you, but you never get there. It's the illusion of the vapor of fog. But there's always another patch ahead that promises to satisfy. The reality of work is that no matter where we get to, work alone will never satisfy us. There will always be another patch ahead, another promotion, a paycheck, a personal best, a course, a degree, a relationship, something more that we can work towards. But have a look at verse 22. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? There's that question again. Work alone is unfulfilling. If we try and find our satisfaction in the results of our work, we will always be disappointed. That's what idolatry is, isn't it? A good thing given by God that we ruin by trying to find our worth, our satisfaction, our fulfillment in, rather than finding it in its right place. That's why it's important as we come down our passage that we recognize what we're not saying. This passage isn't saying that work is bad, but it's just being realistic about the reality of work. The reality is that work has been affected by the fall, and so it is frustrating. The reality is that if we make work an idol and look to grasp at the results that work gives, we'll never get to where we want to be. We'll never be satisfied. In the words of verse 17, we'll be chasing after the wind. So hard work is frustrating. We need to expect that frustration. We need to be realistic, but we need to know that God is in control. Hard work is ultimately unfulfilling. We need to not make it our idol. We need to know that it's a gift from God, and we need to make sure it's not our ultimate thing. Thirdly, hard work is from God's hand. Have a look at verse 24. People can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. Whoa, hold on, that's a bit of a turnaround, isn't it? 1 minute we're talking about sorrow and vexation, misery, doom and gloom, and the next, joy. But do you see at the end of verse 24, what is it that the person finds joy in? Have a look down. Find satisfaction in their toil. It's the very same word that's been used to explain the previous experience. It's the same word that so far has been characterized by frustration and unfulfillment. So this means that as we're reading this, somehow, even within this experience of frustration and the reality of unfulfillment, joy can be found. How can that be? See, it's only at this point we see the reality of work is any different for God's people than for anyone else. Have a look at verse 25. It's a question of perspective, verse 24 and 25. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? We need to see that all of this experience is from God's hand. Or in other words, God is the God of all the above experience. That means that God is the God who designed work and all that's good about it, which I think is really easy for us to accept, isn't it? But it also means that God is the God of the curse, which results in work being frustrating, but he has complete control over that. And also, God is God over the fall, which results in people trying to take a good gift and find their ultimate fulfillment in it. This rebellion is not his fault, but it's not outside of his control either. Now, the fact that God is God over these things can give us a great comfort and a deep-rooted joy, because the very fact that they're not outside of his control and he does do something about them, well, it means it affects our experience of work as it is now. The frustration that we experience, well, the fact that God's in control, it means it's not hopeless, it's not random, it's not worrying. Instead, it's reasoned, it's controlled, and it's hope-filled. We know that ultimately God will do something about the frustration of work. Romans 8 tells us that Christ came to reverse the curse of sin and death, that ultimately all that was lost in Eden will be restored. Creation itself will be set free from bondage. See, we can find joy in the fact that hard work alone is unfulfilling, because it was never meant to be found alone. Work was never meant to be experienced apart from God. Look at verse 25. Apart from God, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? That's the very point, isn't it? Apart from God, they can't. We will not be satisfied when we try and find fulfillment in work, for it was always meant to be that we'd find our fulfillment in God, and our work would be a product of that. Now, the reality is that we get this wrong all the time, isn't it? The person who doesn't give God the right place in their life wouldn't call themselves a Christian and won't find their fulfillment. But even for the Christian, so quickly we try and use our work and our efforts to find our fulfillment. Have a look at verse 26. To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. See, do you notice these are the same things that the sinner labors with in verse 21? Except joy, except happiness. See, while the reality of the Christian's life of work is not too dissimilar, the experience is fundamentally different. Let me say that again. While the reality of the Christian's work is not too dissimilar, the experience is fundamentally different. See, the person who doesn't trust in God is perfectly able to be skillful, to gain knowledge and insight, display success. In the world's terms, look brilliant. But the reality is their experience is different. Verse 26, to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting. We've already seen what that really means. It's empty. It's ungraspable. It's chasing after the wind. That's the experience of the person who doesn't receive from God. Only to give to one who pleases God, verse 26. This could mean a couple of different things, but first, it's really important what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that in this life, if you trust in God, you will 100% be more rich, more successful, more happy in the world's eyes. We know that that's not what the rest of Scripture affirms. But in this genre, in wisdom literature in the Old Testament, we can read it's generally true that. We see repeatedly in the Old Testament the concept of God's chosen people receiving from his hand and prospering because of it. It's generally true that God's people prosper as they receive from God's hand. But it could mean this, that in gathering and collecting, for the sinner, the very thing that they're looking for, which is fulfillment, is the very thing that they give away to the one who finds it, in God. See, the sinner looks for fulfillment in all that they do, but the places that they're looking for it, they're the wrong places. And so they're chasing after the wind, and the very thing they look for, the fulfillment that they desire, they give away to the one who finds it ultimately in God. But notice how with both of these things, the absolutely crucial thing is that God's people recognize God's hand. See, that's the crucial part of verse 24. This too I see is from the hand of God. When we recognize God's hand of provision, we can find joy even in the frustration of work. Whether that be in our current experience or the perspective of what's to come. See, when our experience is framed by receiving from God's hand, in verse 24, we have an understanding, a reason, a hope for what's going on in our experience. So ultimately, we can have a joy. Because without that, the frustration is meaningless. The hope is meaningless. All of those things are meaningless. They're ungraspable. We have the evidence that God's hand has been sustaining his people through the curse, through the fall, and through frustrations of work in all of history. And we have the knowledge that work as it comes from his hand now and our experience is not out of his control at all. And we can have confidence that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have a certain hope that one day work will be fully restored to how it was designed. The chief way in which we find joy in what often feels like frustrating and unfulfilling work is by having a godly perspective, by focusing on God's hand even through that frustration. And we can do that by reminding ourselves of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do, knowing that he is in ultimate control. We've seen that hard work is frustrating. We need to expect frustration. We need to be realistic, but we need to know that it is completely within God's control. Hard work alone is ultimately unfulfilling. We need to not make it our idol. We need to know that it is a gift from God, but it's not the ultimate. And hard work is from God's hand. We need to find joy in having a godly perspective, receiving from God's hand that frames our experience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are in complete control. And even in frustration of work, Lord, that you have an ultimate purpose and that these things aren't accidents. And this experience, Lord, you have it in your complete control. Father, we thank you so much that we can find joy even within this, knowing that you are doing something about it. You have done something about it. And ultimately, Lord, we'll be able to work again perfectly. Amen.